All right. Well, most of the time, when we hear the word death, we associate it negatively. You know, it's understandable. You know, we don't like to hear of deaths. And, you know, I had just a couple this week and some of the prayer things, you know, of kids and all. It's just sad. Well, because death brings loss. It brings loss. Sometimes that we lose those that are very dear to us. In our text, however, the Lord speaks of a different kind of death, a death that produces life. We might call it a death to self, or more appropriately, a death to the self-life. We need to, you know, so often we just live in ourselves, and we need to learn to die to that. Like the other passages we are looking into during this whole study, Christ's call to die to self is the opposite of how we normally view our lives. We are born selfish, and hopefully will outgrow a childish focus on self. And we probably all know somebody that still hasn't outgrown that. But, you know, one of the first words my kids learned was mine, you know. Or if you tried to take something, no. And that's our nature, you know, that we get at birth. But without the death to self that Christ calls us to, we still make our goals and dreams revolve around ourselves. You know, if they don't know the Lord, you know, we shouldn't expect much different, I guess I would add, because they just don't have that call on their lives. Our self-interest drives us to put our highest priorities on chasing the fulfillment of our desires, whether that be fame, material success, outside approval, or any other number of self-focused dreams that we may embrace. Social media and the proliferation of smartphones have inarguably facilitated the promotion of the self-life. They've also given rise to the notorious selfie. You know, it's kind of a fairly new word. In fact, I was going to have my phone up and take a selfie of us out here. You know, and you just see that all the time, and people doing that. You know, they got selfie sticks, and it's kind of incredible when you think about it. Selfies have become a normal part of life. But some people have gotten so caught up in getting that perfect selfie that they have done it to the peril of their own lives. I just saw one this last week. Somebody went off a cliff, you know, doing that. In September of 18, an Israeli teenager, Tomer Frankfurter, died in California's Yosemite National Park after falling 250 meters while trying to take a selfie. And he's not alone. According to a BBC report, a global study revealed 259 deaths from the quest for extreme selfies between 2011 and 2017. So in those 7 years, 2050. I tried to look up to get an updated number because I thought there's probably that many a year anymore. But everything referred back to this report, 259 in those 7 years. Researchers at the U.S. National Library of Medicine have even recommended that no selfie zones be introduced at dangerous zones such as mountaintops, tall buildings, and lakes where many of the deaths have occurred. And you look at—I don't even recommend looking, but I Googled the thing, and they're standing on this little, you know, like a cell phone tower that's, you know, 300 feet in the air or more, and you know, anyway, it's pretty crazy, pretty crazy. Well, it's important to note here, though, that not every desire we have is wrong. You know, just because we have something we want or a desire, that in itself doesn't make it wrong. You know, it's nice to want some happiness and, you know, and friendships and all that. Death to self is not a blanket denial of all personal pursuits. You know, you don't have to deny everything. You know, you don't become a monk and move up on the mountaintop, so you don't have all the denial. But our natural orientation is self-focused. And without choosing to follow Christ's call to die to self, we will spend our lives on a self-centered, short-lived goals. When self-gratification is our end goal, we realize that the pleasure it brings is also short-lived. And I thought of that, you know, even in my life and Kathy's and our kid, you know, like a big thing for us is ice cream, you know, and chocolate ice cream or whatever. And yet, fortunately, it doesn't make me ill, but Josh and Kathy both get ill, you know. And it's one of those things that, but you know, you want that self-gratification, and you have that, and it causes, it's short-lived, because pretty soon you're not feeling good. You know, whatever it might be. And then I thought, too, you know, back in my unsaved college days, you know, alcohol, if you drink too much, what happens? You think you're having fun, but you wake up with a terrible hangover and headaches and body, and you can't function. And, you know, it's just kind of that whole, the more we self-gratify, the worse things can get, you know, at the end. When self-gratification is our end goal, we realize the pleasure is short-lived. When we live solely for ourselves, we end up in a restless pursuit of that which cannot satisfy. You know, you always want more and more and more. Nothing ever gets satisfactory. In contrast, our Lord gives an illustration of death to self through a simple object we all understand, a seed, and then the harvest. Again, our text, John 12:24-26. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also be my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor. And we're going to look a little more into each of those steps. And again, in this lesson, all the scriptures I read are on your worksheet. But so you can follow along if you want, or if you just want to listen as we go through, we can do that. But they are on there, just a few blanks to fill out. But Christ tells us that a life without lasting purpose must involve death. Death to ourselves. That life with a lasting purpose. Christ's death brought glory to God through bringing salvation available to all men. His physical death reaped an eternal harvest. And he tells us that this earthly life is not about living for self, but it is for Christ. Yet we can only live for Christ when we first die to self. We were made to be empty channels through which Christ can manifest himself. Until we are emptied of ourselves, our ambition, our pride, and our desires, we can never live for the Lord. When we die to ourselves, we begin living for something greater, an eternal cause. To experience any of the blessings of this Christ life, however, we must first understand how we establish a relationship with Christ through eternal life. As it turns out, receiving eternal life also requires death. And the first blank, I think, is on page 2 of your worksheet. And number 1 there is eternal life. Gotta go one more. There we go. Eternal life. You're probably familiar with the saying that death is the great equalizer. And it's true. You know, the rich and the poor, you know, whatever, all become equal in death. You know, at that point, we're all in the same boat, so to speak. The achievements of this life, fame, money, accolades, academic feats, world records, corporate success, only go as far as the grave. We came into this world and truly leave the world the same way. You know, and it's the old saying, you know, you don't see a hearse pulling the U-Haul. You know, it's just one of those things. Now, you can leave a legacy and good feelings and some of that stuff, which is all good and what we ought to be trying to do. But, you know, so often, how often do we read of these billionaires that die, and no friends, no family at the funeral? I mean, just sad, you know. They've been equalized, I guess, so to speak. Just nothing left for them or even about them that people would appreciate. But God created us with an eternal soul, and we will live somewhere. In heaven or hell forever. Heaven is a place of eternal life. Hell is a place of eternal death. When we receive the Lord as our Savior, he gives us eternal life. This is what Jesus described in verse 25 of our text again. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Very important. As sinners, we are headed for death and destruction. There is nothing good in us. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned against our Creator God and deserve death. You know, we use this on our soul-winning cards and when we go out and door knock the Romans Road there, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the lost must understand that. They have to come to understand what that means and accept that truth so that they can choose life. But Christ came to redeem us with his precious blood and pave the way for reconciliation and eternal life in heaven with him, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we need to understand and hold on to that and really grasp that. Other verses there on your worksheet confirm this. John 3:15 through 17. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And 1 Timothy 2:4-6. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So several things just point to that message. You know, he is the only way, and we need to accept that for eternal life. When you stop to think about it, it really is incredible that we can be reconciled to God. You know, creator of the whole universe, you know, what's he want to have to do with little old Don Tucker that's a spot on there? Pretty incredible if you really stop and think, boy, we can receive eternal life through his Son, Jesus. The most marvelous gift imaginable. The Bible tells us that this salvation is a gift, not something we earn. We receive it by recognizing our sinful condition and calling out to Christ for salvation. In fact, when we put our faith in Christ for our salvation, we can begin to enjoy the blessings of eternal life now. You know, some of the benefits come to us just on how we feel and react and enjoy. And we can have a lot of that in our current life. Nothing comparable to what we're going to have in heaven, but we should be able to, have joy in itself. So with an offer this good, why doesn't everyone receive eternal life in Christ? You kind of wonder that when you think about it. Why wouldn't everybody want that? One of the reasons many people have not received eternal life is because they are unwilling to give up their own idea or their own belief system about how to obtain salvation. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone and heard one of these responses? We got four of them here. I've heard them all. I'm sure many of you have. I hear what you're saying, but I think, or but my church teaches, you know, they think. Get a clue right there. I just don't believe a loving God would send people to hell. Get that a lot. Or I believe that all religions lead to the same place. Some religions even teach that. Or, I've been religious all my life, and I believe in God, so that should be enough. You know, and you get that a lot. You know, a lot of people grew up in church. You know, Kathy, you know, through her childhood, went to church, but never heard the gospel. Never even had the opportunity. And it's sad. But people think that, you know, a works-based faith. The problem with all of these and similar statements is that God is the one who determined how we receive eternal life. Who do you want to trust, yourself or God? It's not us. If we cling to our own ideas when God has specifically revealed something different in his word, we can't receive his gift of eternal life. Until a person is willing to set aside the pride, self-righteousness, or unbelief keeping him from receiving Christ, he will not get saved. Salvation cannot come without a change in belief. A person must recognize that he is a sinner on his way to hell in need of redemption through Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Remember the thief on the cross. He was literally hours from hell and eternal death, but he had a change of belief, and that changed his eternal destination. He died to his old way of thinking and trusted Christ. The story is there on the worksheet, Luke 23, 39 through 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Wow, we're both in the same spot, the same situation. One rails and one accepts him as Savior. What a difference a change of belief makes. The unrepentant thief held to his unbelief in Christ and thus went to the lake of fire. The repentant thief placed his faith in Christ and is now enjoying eternity in heaven. What a difference just that split-second decision made. These were two people in the same situation, but they made two different decisions, and they're experiencing two different eternal lives. What made the difference? A change in thinking about who Jesus is and a belief in him for salvation. John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Pretty clear, pretty clear. The truth of dying to our own ideas is what the Bible calls repentance. Repentance involves a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Repentance and faith are actually two sides of the same coin. We turn from what we believed and put our trust in what Jesus did. We believe and then we trust. Acts 3:19. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Amen. In Acts 20:21. "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." We repent and believe and trust. God has made salvation so simple that even a child can understand it. You know, sometimes I think that's the problem. You know, it's almost too simple. You know, people have to come up with their own intelligent ways to and how to get there and work there when it's just believe, believe. Eternal life is available to all, but only those who believe God's way to heaven and die to their own way of thinking will actually receive him. 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son of hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Again, just real simple. You either have it or you don't. Of course, those of us who have already placed our faith in Christ should invest our lives in sharing the gospel with others. Some never set aside their mistaken beliefs because they simply have not heard. They have not heard the truth of the gospel. You know, we might not even know if somebody we're talking to, if they've even heard it or not. You know, it's kind of surprising nowadays, but we've run into a lot of people on doorsteps that never been in church, never heard about Jesus even. So, you know, they just never were given the truth. So we should then just share the truth with them. Then it's up to them and the Holy Spirit to do the rest of the work. Our job is just to share the truth. So let's be sure to share with others the reality that Christ died for their sins, and they only have to put their faith in him to receive eternal life. Christ's death is the doorway to eternal life. To receive Christ as our Savior, we must die to our way of thinking. After we receive Christ as Savior, he invites us to die to our selfish way of living. Which brings us to number two, have a fruitful life. Fruitful. Isn't it amazing how much fruit can come from one seed? As the old saying goes, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. I thought, that's really true. You know, I brought up the spreadsheet, you know, okay, you know, you had maybe 30 seeds in an apple, you know, and but one seed produces a tree that has 200 apples. You know, I don't know how many, but that's 6,000 apples from the one seed that grew there. And then you think children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren of an apple tree, you know, you're into the billions real quickly. One seed. This multiplication is what Jesus was referring to in John 12, 24, when he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You know, I meant to bring a little watermelon seed, you know, and, you know, have it and put it in my pocket. If I leave it there, it doesn't die, doesn't do any good, doesn't bear any fruit. We need to put it in the ground and have it die. One tiny seed can yield many pieces of fruit, but how much fruit will grow from a seed that is not planted? Zero. You don't plant any, you don't grow any. And that's the way it is with our lives. If we don't die to self, we remain fruitless. Unfortunately, we often think wrongly about dying to self. Instead of seeing death to self as the opportunity for God's great work in us, we see it as miserable and burdensome. You know, oh, I have to do that. You know, we just have the wrong attitude towards it. It's as if we assume that when we yield ourselves to God, he is going to make our lives difficult. And unfortunately, I've had this discussion with my brother. He has the head knowledge. He's known about it, shared with him many times. But, you know, he thinks it'll end his fun. He's into having fun, self-gratification. And think, you know, I tried to tell him I've had a lot more fun with my Christian brothers and sisters than I ever had with my drunken friends, you know. And anyway, but that's the attitude that people have. In reality, when we give up our will and seek God's, we discover that he blesses us with a fruitful life, the kind of life he created us to experience. This doesn't mean there will be no burdens or difficulties, and we wish it did. But it does mean that God will bring fruit from our lives, fruit that glorifies him and makes an eternal difference. Wow. To think we can have an eternal difference in somebody's life by simply sharing the simple truth of the gospel with them. So, what does it mean to die to self? The answer has two sides. Letter A, we should die to the flesh and self-centeredness. Die to the flesh and self-centeredness. In a world where so many people are looking out for themselves, many Christians fall into the same trap and live for old number one. But the selfish life is the fleshly life, and our flesh resists the spiritual. Galatians 5:17 there. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You know, we just don't let ourselves do the stuff we should do or even want to do. Our flesh gets in the way. But the Bible tells us that the flesh profits nothing. Look at John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's where true life is. Fleshly living doesn't bring the results we believe it will in the moment we give in to it. James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Things we do in our own anger or whatever, it's not righteousness with God. What then is the solution to our flesh? Die to it is the answer. We need to die to the flesh. The Bible tells us that when we trusted Christ as our Savior, our obligation to live according to our old nature died. And now we have Christ living in us and willing to live his life through us. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We just really need to get a hold of that attitude and that sense that he's in us and wants to work through us. But our flesh still tempts us to live for ourselves instead of for Christ. Our daily choice, then, is to recognize that our flesh has no power over us unless we allow it to. unless we let it. And like a seed, we need to die to our selfish, fleshly desires so we can live for Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. We need to say no to the flesh time and time again. It is a constant daily battle that we must fight with tenacity if we are to live fruitful spiritual lives. Thankfully, this is not a battle we have to fight alone. As we've said all through the several of these classes, you can't do that on your own. Our flesh is just too close to us, I guess. We need to, letter B, allow Christ to produce his fruit in you. We need to let him in and allow him to work in our lives. Just as the flesh is incapable of living the spiritual life on its own, so we cannot bear spiritual fruit in our own strength. To be effective in our Christian walk and in our ministry for the Lord, we need to abide in Christ and allow him to produce fruit in our lives. John 15:4-5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without him, we're not going to bear any fruit. The fruit we want to bear comes by staying with him, staying attached to him like the vine. When you think of it, our flesh doesn't want to do what God instructs us to do. In our flesh, we find it difficult to get up early and spend time in God's word, to share the gospel with someone who we might think might, because they might reject it, or to even serve others. This is why it's important to recognize that we cannot live the spiritual life in our flesh. We must rely on the power of Christ working in us. When we trusted Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell us. He now gives us the power to deny the flesh and its temptations and live for him, if we allow him to do that. Our daily choice, then, is to yield to the Spirit's control in our lives so he can produce fruit in us. Galatians 5:22-25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is Rosalind Goforth. Now, she was the wife of the great missionary to China, Jonathan Goforth. Told the story of God helping her to see the importance of death to self so that the life of Christ could flow through her into the lives of others. She said this, quote, it's a long quote. One day, I can never forget it, as I sat inside the house by a paper window at dusk, two Chinese women sat down on the other side. They began talking about me, and wrongly, no doubt. I listened. One said, yes, she is a hard worker, a zealous preacher, and yes, she dearly loves us, but oh, what a temper she has. If she would only live more as she preaches. Then followed a full and true delineation of my life and character. So true indeed was it as to crush out all sense of annoyance and leave me humbled to dust. I saw then how useless, how worse than useless was it for me to come to China and preach Christ and not live Christ. I knew I loved Christ, and again I had proved my willingness to give up all for his sake. But I knew too that one hot flash of temper with the Chinese or with the children before the Chinese would largely undo weeks, perhaps months, of self-sacrificing service. The Lord helped Rosalind to understand the truth that we have looked at in this lesson about dying to self and allowing Christ to live in us. She wrote again, quote, at last I realized that Jesus Christ was actually and literally within me. I stopped amazed How blind I had been. I saw at last the secret of victory. It was simply Jesus Christ himself, his own life lived out in the believer, unquote. This made a tremendous difference in her life, and from then on, she saw new fruit in her ministry and with the Chinese people. When we live in the flesh, we actually repel people from Christ because we fail to practice what we preach. And I've said that often. You know, once they know you're a Christian, they watch a lot closer than they would have before. So we need to be careful how we live that out and what we demonstrate to people. You know, that's where they really see what we are believing. But when we crucify the flesh and allow Christ to live through us, the Holy Spirit uses us to draw people to Christ. This is the way to a fruitful life. Then we can also have, number three, an honored life. I like this part. We can have an honored life. When we think of honorable people, we usually think of those in a leadership position or with great authority. We hold people in high regard because of their great achievements or their powerful status. But the most honorable person who ever lived on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, taught us the opposite reality about honor. In verse 26 of our text, Jesus taught that the humble servant of Christ is honored by the only one whose honor matters, our Heavenly Father. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Wow, again, amazing to think that God, Creator, God the Father, would honor us. The honor of the Father is the highest level of honor man could ever receive. You know, how great, again, it is just to think that God wants to and is willing to honor us. Wow. You know, we all, I'm sure, feel unworthy of that. And in ourselves, we're not. But because of Jesus Christ, we can be worthy of that. And to receive that honor, incredible. In this verse, Jesus gives us two keys to receiving the Father's honor. Follow Christ and serve him. Both requires death to self. So, letter A there is die to self and choose to follow. Choose to follow. Christ calls us to obey him. We had that last week, trust and obey. And he provided an example for us in that when he lived on earth, he always and completely did the will of the Father. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Christ was obedient in doing the will of his Father all the way to the cross. Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He calls us also to die to ourselves and follow him. Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow him. Are you seeking the honor and praise of men? Living for man's approval comes in many shapes. Sometimes it's a consuming desire for the praise and acceptance of one person, a parent, a boss, someone you admire. You know, it's all out to try to get him to recognize and appreciate you. Well, other times it's a consuming desire for the praise of all people, seeking fame through an achievement or an accomplishment. Earthly esteem will never satisfy you. It just doesn't get them there. You know, you see all these people, and you can picture them like I can, who it is, and, you know, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't last very long. It is fleeting, elusive, and ultimately unprofitable. Seek the honor of the Father. Follow him and his plan for your life. Then letter B, die to self and choose to serve. Choose to serve. A choice to follow Christ is a choice to serve Christ. Of course, serving Christ is done by serving others. Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man cometh not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The choice to die to self and to serve Christ is a choice that God himself honors. Luke 18:28-30. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, and life everlasting." Then Hebrews 6:10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." It's about serving others. And in the next service, and in our announcements, you'll see we're just starting a new thing now that we can get back together on opportunities to serve here at Spokane Baptist, and welcoming people to at lunchtime that are interested in different ministries. And there'll be more about that to come. But it's just so important. And it's not for us. Yeah, a lot of things we need help in and can have help. But it's really more about learning to be of service to our Lord Jesus. The great men and women of this world are not those who can throw a basketball through a hoop or make a touchdown. They are not those who have achieved fame or worldly success. And I thought, you know, and it's just so true. We give way too much honor to some of that stuff. You know, maybe even politicians or whoever it might be, you know, that there are role models. That's not, give me a break, I'm sorry to say, you know. Why do I care what some superstar thinks about anything, you know? Unless he's thinking about Jesus Christ and giving him praise and glory, then that gets my attention. But so many people are just, you know, hero worshipers, if you will. And they get disappointed because the role models inevitably fail. You know, if that's all their life's about and themselves and doing that stuff. Anyway, you've all seen that as much as I have. And you know, I get disappointed in some of them, but, you know, that doesn't should not affect what I do. Oh, because he did it, I can do it. Or because of that, I'm going to do this because I'm so mad about it. You know, that's just not where our focus needs to be. Not on people. Not on any people. The great men and women of this world are those who serve Christ. They die to self and live for the cause of Christ and others. These are the people upon whom God bestows honor. Who is God calling you to serve? And how? Will you die to self and serve him by serving them? Well, to be saved, you must die to your own way of believing. To be fruitful, you must die to your own way of living. To be honored, you must die to your own way of satisfying. I like that. I'm going to read that again. To be saved, you must die to your own way of believing. To be fruitful, you must die to your own way of living. To be honored, you must die to your own way of satisfying. The following story illustrates the dedication of a soldier to his country, a fellow American comrades. He was honored as a hero because he was willing to give his life for his country. September 29, 2006 was the day that forever changed Petty Officer Second Class Michael Mansour's life. He was a Navy SEAL. Along with two other SEALs, he was in a sniper position on a rooftop in Ramadi, Iraq, in an operation to rid enemy fighters. Suddenly, a grenade from nowhere flew into his location, bounced off his chest, landing in an area that could have potentially killed or gravely wounded all three SEAL snipers. Acting out of instinct, Mansour jumped on the grenade to protect his fellow soldiers. He recognized immediately the threat, yelled "grenade," and due to the fact that two other SEAL snipers, our brothers, could not possibly escape the blast, he chose to smother it with his body, absorbed the impact, and lost his life in the process, said Lieutenant Commander Seth Stone, Mansour's platoon commander. Mansour did not die immediately. It was an agonizing 30 minutes before the blast killed him. His two comrades suffered shrapnel wounds but survived. Stone said he essentially saved the SEALs on the rooftop and three Iraqi soldiers who were there also. On April 8, 2008, President Bush presented Mansoor's parents with a posthumous Medal of Honor for their son at a White House ceremony. He quoted one of the SEALs saved by Mansoor. "Mikey looked death in the face that day and said, 'You cannot take my brothers. I will go in their stead.'" One individual decided to give his life so that the others could live. Well, when a person dies to his own beliefs and embraces the truth of the gospel, he receives eternal life. When a Christian dies to his own comforts and conveniences and lets Christ live through him, he bears fruit that remains. Do you want eternal life? Die to your pride and unbelief of the gospel and trust Christ as your Savior. Embrace the truth of the Lord Jesus. Do you want your life to count? Do you want to make a difference in the lives of others? Do you want to bear fruit? Die to self. Do you want to be honored by God? Do you want to stand before him and hear him say, "Well done"? Do you want to see him do exceeding and abundant things? Die to self. That's our instruction this morning. It's the opposite of how we think. Death brings life. Just love that picture, death bringing life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. And in many ways, a tough message to hear for ourselves, as we just can be so fleshly and so caught up in self and taking selfies and all the things that we prefer to do in our flesh. Oh, Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us die to those desires that are not fruitful. Lord, that we would be connected to you, to you would be our vine, that we would bear much fruit, Lord, by dying to ourselves and producing. Help us to be bold in sharing the gospel. Help us to just look for ways to be of service to you and to others and our brethren and our community or neighborhood. Lord, just so many things we can do to help bring glory to you. I pray that would be our heart's desire this morning, Lord. Just strengthen us. Holy Spirit, guide us. And just let us, have us allow you, Lord Jesus, to take control. The Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and our actions and our prayers. We thank you for that lesson this morning. We pray for the service to come, that you'll just bless Pastor Jamie. Continue to pray for our Pastor Josh and his health recovery and getting the rest he so sorely needs. So just strengthen us together as a body. We just came through a wonderful vacation Bible school and outreach to the community. And Lord, there's kind of a natural letdown and sickness that just from being able to relax, I think, that comes. I pray that we would stay strong and bold in you and in reaching out. So bless all that came and have tuned in this morning, and continue to strengthen us, I pray. We ask all this in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. We'll be back soon.